Jason, it's week one. Let's talk about the Bears and Vikings coming up on Palace Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, the Bears host the Vikings on Monday Night Football in week one. It's a huge primetime matchup for their new head coach and the Vikings' new quarterback. Finally, we're here, Jason. Does it feel like camp is taken forever?
Training camp is so tough when you feel like I've been here a week plus, and it's not even August yet.
Right.
You're still checking you still pick up your phone and it says July, and you're like, man, we're already deep into training camp. So yeah, it is long. It is a long grind to get to week one. And when you get to week one, you're only at this part of week one, Patrick. You're not at the game. You're at the lead up to the game, which the whole last 5 months has been the lead up to this game. One of the things I want to ask you is if you could put it succinctly.
Good luck with that.
Well, because it's a two-part question. The question would be a lot longer than the answer, I think. So we feel like we know what the Bears are. We kind of know what team they are. We know what they're missing, what they have, what their strengths are. We could give you guys an outlook on the Bears. The thing that's hard for me when you look at, well, what's their record going to be then would be an obvious follow-up question is, I don't know what all the other teams are going to be. I don't know if Dallas is just a dumpster fire in week three or if the Raiders are going to be surprisingly decent with Pete Carroll and Ashton Jeanty in week four. The Steelers, the 49ers, the Bengals, like which way do all those teams end up tilting? So what I would ask you is to the best of your knowledge and ability here, Patrick, to answer this question, what do you think the Bears are and what do you think the Vikings are?
I think the Bears aspire to be in the middle class of the NFC. I think the Vikings are an upper class team that is fighting the inevitable move downward because they have a new quarterback and because they just played a couple of seasons that were fantastic, but also pretty unlikely. You know, they were on nobody's, you know, prediction list last year. I mean, I went and read through a couple that had them finishing fourth and the Bears finishing third. And then, you know what, they lost three games all season, something like that.
14-3.
Yeah, I think that they are probably due for crash landing. And maybe their crash landing is 10-7. And I mean, it'd be the Bears' second best season in 13 years if they went 10-7. So that's not a bad thing. But I think the Bears, within kind of your context of not knowing exactly where all of these other middle class teams are, I think the Bears are aspiring to climb out of, you know, land occupied by the Browns and by the Saints and by maybe the Jaguars and Panthers, and at least trying to be a respectable middle class 8 or 9 win team this year.
I think that's about what the Bears are. If you didn't look at their schedule and you just said, hey, what, look at this roster, look at the coaching change, what do you think they are? Somewhere between 7 wins and 10 wins, which is all about the same, by the way.
Right.
7 and 10. 10-7 is just a couple things flip your way that change that, and neither might be good enough to get in the playoffs depending on what kind of year it is. Well, the Vikings though, I feel like will probably be a pretty good team eventually, but I don't think they're going to be very good week one with a new quarterback who is never making his debut. That's a tough debut for JJ McCarthy going against at least a good defense and doing it on the road in primetime.
You and I have talked about this a couple of times and I like to harp on it, but I think the Bears are lucky to be playing the Vikings now. I think they're lucky to be playing the Lions next week when their offensive and defensive coordinators are just getting their feet wet. I think that's a good spot.
I don't think they're ever lucky to play the Lions, man.
I think that's a good
spot. I agree with you on the Vikings point though.
I think it's a good spot for them though. And I think I would rather play both of these teams now than in October or November.
These teams play again in November up in Minnesota, and I think that's just going to be a completely different game.
Yeah, probably.
I think both quarterbacks are going to look a lot different in November than they will Monday night.
I think the game will be a lot more pleasant to watch. I'm perfectly ready to see a game this week that is similar to what – do you remember that Packers game at the start of 2019 or the 2019 season?
The kickoff game?
Yeah, that one was – maybe not quite that gross, but, you know, somewhere in maybe the high teens, you know, 18, 15, something like that. While
you remember the score to that game?
Is it 12-6, something like
10-3 Green Bay.
Yeah.
And that was, by the way, man, that was like, that was the most recent time the Bears had good reason to believe they were a contender. Well, that's a long time ago.
And for the people who didn't live that, I mean, they're coming off the double doink game, but they're also coming off of a convention in, you know, in Rosemont in June, which every great player they've ever had showed up and said, I think this team's going to win the Super Bowl this year. So fans' expectations were a little high. And then, you know, Matt Nagy shows up wearing George Halas's fedora that day, walks into the building, and you're thinking, oh my God, the Bears are getting ready to take off here. And they didn't.
Those guys who all said that they were going to win the Super Bowl that year, man, they were half right, because that defense was unbelievable that year too. They went 8-8 that year, but they did not have an 8-8 defense. They had an elite championship level defense still in 2019. And that opener, not to, you know, stay this deep into the opener from 2019, but I think Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay opened with three straight three and outs and were at negative yardage at that point, just because that defense was so overwhelming. While we're talking about the Packers, I keep bringing up in my conversations with you and other people off mic, the 2023 Packers as perhaps informative on what both the Bears and the Vikings are doing right now. That was Jordan Love's first season as their quarterback, and it's not exactly the same, because how many years did he sit? Was it two behind Rodgers?
Three.
Rodgers sat three behind Favre. Did Love also sit three? Love had quite a bit of time to learn, and he was learning from a very good coach in Matt LaFleur. But he was still kind of a rookie when he started in 2023. And it was a rough first half of the season for Jordan Love, except that opener against the Bears when he lit him up for 38 points. But other than that, Jordan Love looked pretty bad the first half of the season, and Green Bay started 3-6. That's about how long I expect it to take for things to click. That's how long I thought it would take for Caleb Williams to click last year, and it didn't. It didn't totally happen, although he was better down the stretch. Jordan Love, once he caught fire, they went from 3-6 to 9-8 and in the playoffs, and I think he was second in the league in touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. That is, for both the Bears and the Vikings, there is no greater source of just extreme volatile improvement than to have a young quarterback who is trying to figure it out, and then he does figure it out. Because once that happens, your team will get hot with him.
Yep.
That may be something that takes till midseason for both of these teams, even though Caleb Williams has played a full season, and J.J. McCarthy is not technically a rookie.
I think if it does come midseason, both teams would probably be thrilled, honestly. And we've talked about this, and we'll get to our record predictions later, Jason. But in my mind, if the Bears are about 500, but by the end of the season, they know in the affirmative that Caleb Williams is their quarterback, boy, that's a tremendous sign of progress. And that's a success that they have not had in how long? A decade? And if you're the Vikings, you have to hope for the same, even though I think the Vikings have a little more urgency to win just because they know they have one of the best rosters in football short of that quarterback position.
Top five defense last year and elite wide receiver talent.
Yeah. And, you know, all you got to do is get them the ball. And, you know, that will be really interesting too, because, you know, Caleb Williams has got to worry about feeding all the different mouths on the Bears side of the ball. But boy, could you imagine being a rookie? And on one hand, you have Justin Jefferson, maybe the best weapon a quarterback could ever have. On the other hand, it's your job to keep him happy and to feed him and to get him the ball when he needs the ball. You know, if both of these teams' offenses feel settled and established and heading in the right direction by midseason, I think that's, like I said, a tremendous success. Because the alternative is, if the Bears get through this year and they still don't know whether Caleb's the person, well, guess what? You've got to give him a contract extension a year from then. And then all of a sudden we're having this conversation about, is he the man? And boy, that sneaks up on you quickly.
Well, if they get to, if they get to the end of this year and he is not a definitive answer, which if I had to bet, I think he will be.
I do too.
I think he's got the talent and the work ethic, and now he's got the proper coaching and the proper offensive line. I would bet on Caleb Williams. But if he's not, your record's probably pretty terrible, and you're probably picking in that quarterback range of the top of the draft, and that presents a difficult decision for you as well. I think a lot of that is like a little premature. I not only do I think that Caleb Williams will figure things out and that he set quite a good and promising floor for himself last year in a terrible situation, but I also think Caleb Williams is your starting quarterback for week one, 2026 already. I don't think that's even really a conversation at this point. He's going to get at least that third season. Mitch Trubisky got that third season, if I remember correctly.
Oh, I think he would too. I just think that...
I think Mitch got three seasons before they eventually were like, okay, we're at least going to bring in Nick Foles and have him compete.
By the end of the third season, they can sign him to a contract extension. And that's the clock that's ticking now. It's not who's the starter in week one of next year. It's what are you going to do at the end of it?
But to your point for this year, Patrick, I was writing and thinking about this a few months ago in the offseason about what are concrete expectations for Ben Johnson in his first season coaching the Bears. And I think it is what I had at that time is very similar to what you had. I thought that I hate the ambiguity in this. You need to give specific in our position as writers, as people analyzing what they do. You got to give specific benchmarks. You can't just leave it real amorphous and then kind of decide later if it fits your criteria or not for good or promising or encouraging or whatever term you want to use. I thought a few months ago the standards should be A, they're in the playoffs, B, Caleb Williams is top 12 at his position. I would soften that first one at this point. Ben Johnson has tried to, I think, calm down everyone's expectations going into at least the beginning of the season. He keeps talking about that bye week, week five, as a time to regroup and reassess. I think partly as a way of kind of downplaying and kind of tamping down expectations for these first 4 weeks. I now would say somewhere like about a 500-ish team. But that second one, I would stay firm on that. Caleb Williams needs to be top 12 at his position at the end of this season. And if he is, then I think you're going to feel really good about where they're headed, even if they end up at 8-9 and they're watching the playoffs on TV again.
You know, 12 seems like a doable number until you run through the list of quarterbacks. And
but do it for us. Yes. Tell us like who is about, and you could do it by passer rating or you could do it kind of by other criteria, but who would, Give us some idea of who we're talking about when we're saying like the 10th, 11th, and 12th best quarterback in the league.
Okay, I'm sorting here last year from passing touchdowns. So I'll get you through maybe the first four or five. Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson. That's a different weight class than what we can expect from Caleb, I would imagine. You throw Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen in there, obviously different weight class. Jared Goff, Jordan Love, Jaden Daniels, Justin Herbert.
Few names you said you're getting into where I think he needs to be.
Yeah. I mean, and then we get to, let's go, this is number 10, roughly, Sam Darnold, Bo Nix, Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray, Matthew Stafford, Brock Purdy, CJ Stroud, Tua Tagovailoa. Jalen Hurts is a really good quarterback who just didn't throw a lot of touchdowns last year. He's got to be, I think, at the pretty high end of that middle class to get to 12. I think Kyler Murray is a great target for him in year two. If anything, Kyler Murray seems to have plateaued kind of right in that area. But if that can be what Caleb is now, and then the Bears can build on that, I think that would be a pretty good start. And finishing better in year two than Jaden Daniels did, I think just from a psychological standpoint, would be good for Caleb because Jaden's playing, for his hometown team. And I think it would be good for Bears fans too, because you could sit there and say, yeah, we picked the right guy. And, you can throw Bo Nix's passing stats at me all you want. I think Bo Nix is a high floor, low ceiling guy. And if he ends up quarterbacking the Broncos to a playoff win or something, boy, that's a really good success story. But I don't think that there was a world in which anybody considered Bo Nix a reasonable option for the top five, much less for the number one overall
pick. And don't forget about Drake May, too, because Drake May actually played pretty well on a horrible team last year. But some of the names you threw out there, you know, you threw out Kyler Murray, Tua,
Purdy.
I think is one of the guys you said. I mean, yeah, if you get to the end of this season and you're weighing Caleb in one hand, Tua in the other, and you say, I think based on the way things look right now, I'd rather have Caleb, then that's where you want to be. Right. And if and it's kind of not really, that is so much more important to me than do you get to 10-7 and sneak in? I think that if Caleb looks like that, you're going to probably be a winning-ish team, maybe 8-9 wins, something like that. But I think it's, and the other point you made about Jaden Daniels, don't assume anything about Jaden Daniels in year two. Jaden Daniels is ahead of Caleb Williams, but Jaden Daniels has not won that argument yet. There is a lot left to go. The entire league has now had a year of film on Jaden Daniels. And you've seen before where, like, C.J. Stroud was not as good in year two as he was as a rookie. So things happen.
Yeah, I mean, and what was so fun about Daniels last year was watching Cliff Kingsbury build an offense around him. You know, I was at the game where the Commanders beat the Lions in the playoffs, you know, in this building that they shouldn't have been able to win it. And just the way they turned it into basketball and grass, just with spacing and with easy throws, it was really impressive to watch. But to your point, defensive coordinators have been watching that all off season too. Jason, there will be some ambiguity about the Bears' health situation heading into the game. You know, it is early, but as we sit here right now, Jalen Johnson, we know, returned to practice on Wednesday after saying on Tuesday that he was hoping to be cleared. Absent any sort of insight into whether or not he knows he's going to play, because I don't think he does yet. How important do you think that is, both big picture and little picture, for the Bears? And are you more worried about, okay, let's just make sure Jalen's good for the season than you are, let's make sure he's good for Justin Jefferson?
100%. I want Jaden. Who are we talking about?
Jalen Johnson.
Jason, Jaden, Jalen.
You're Jalen.
Jalen Johnson.
Okay. This is Mike. This is Mike, just to keep it all straight. Okay. Anyway.
Jalen Johnson, I want him for as many games as I can get this season. And it doesn't have to be this one. However, Pat, who's their best player?
Jalen Johnson. I
mean, who do they have that is the best at what they – who is better at their job than anybody else right now?
On the Bears, nobody.
I mean, you could talk about like Joe Tooney maybe. There's a couple guys you could talk about. Jalen Johnson, I think, is your best player pound for pound at their position. And Minnesota is bringing in the best player in the league at his position, probably, Justin Jefferson. You'd love to be able to throw your Jalen Johnson solution at your Justin Jefferson problem. So not having him, especially now that they're going to be playing man-to-man and having him travel, and that would have been the plan with a healthy Jalen Johnson, would you say, hey, he just stick him on Justin Jefferson? That job now falls to who? Like Tyreek Stevenson, Nashawn Wright, who's had a very good camp. But by the way, Nashawn Wright, you know, has been cut by or dumped off, I guess, by two teams in the last couple of years.
I think it might be Kyler Gordon, honestly.
Kyler Gordon has played outside before. If you think back to his earlier seasons, when necessary, he has played outside.
And when Dennis Allen got here, one of the things the guys talked about right away was, boy, he's going to be really creative with the way he moves us around. And we have seen formations, Jason, where they're playing with three safeties. We've seen formations where Kyler has played a little bit outside and probably not as much as he thought he was going to, in part because of the injury he had. But one of the things Allen does really well is come up with some unique defensive backfield alignments. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that in week one if Jalen is unable to go. I've told you this. My big concern is I just don't want him to push it and do something worse or set himself back a couple of weeks. To me, that's a lot more scary than what Justin Jefferson might do one night.
Yeah, worst case scenario would be Jalen Johnson tries to play, has a setback during the game. You don't even get him for the full game. And now we're talking, you know, he's out for four games or something like that. That's really what you don't want. I was going to ask you, since you were mentioning the injury situation, I have a fresh injury report right in front of me if you'd like it.
Hit me with it, Jason.
People can't hear you giving me a thumbs up. You got to. All right.
It's an audio meeting. Yeah.
So here are the key ones. Here are the main guys. TJ Edwards with a hamstring would now this is estimated by the Bears because they didn't have practice today. TJ Edwards would not have been able to practice today. Neither would running back Roschon Johnson because of a foot injury. They estimate Jalen Johnson would be limited, and Kyle Menangai would be limited.
Okay. That checks out with what we saw when we were up there on Wednesday. TJ Edwards came off the field a week ago Wednesday, and we haven't seen him since. That's obviously a not good thing for the Bears, given how steady he's been. They gave him a contract extension. You know, he's somebody who they're going to rely a lot on. And without him, Jason, they don't have a ton of depth at that position.
And who would it be? Do you think it'd be Noah Sewell?
It'd be Noah Sewell, or it'd be Ruben Hippolyte, or... You know, or you just play a lot of five down linemen or a lot of dime and just keep Tremaine Edmonds out there the whole time. Jalen Johnson being limited, I think that's a good sign. And, you know, we've talked about Kyle and about Roschon. I think Kyle is ahead of Roschon in more ways than just physical. I think he's going to be the number two running back at the start of this game and probably for most of the start of the season here.
Could you see a scenario where Jalen Johnson plays but is on a snap count a little bit?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Jalen Johnson has never done that. Jalen Johnson, if you look through his numbers, has played 97 to 100% of the snaps his entire career. When he plays, he doesn't come out. Do you think they would do that because of their depth at corner? Would they say, hey, we're going to play Jalen every other series or something like that? Like, what's reasonable in that way, Pat?
I think it'd be interesting to see if you not play him on first downs or something like that, you know, save him for obvious passing downs. That would be interesting. I think what complicates it though, Jason, is this is a new coaching staff. You know, there's nobody on the defensive side of the ball who was here last year. There was nobody with a pre-existing relationship with Jalen Johnson who was here last year. I think it takes trust to go out on a pitch count and to kind of keep your coaches up to date with how you're feeling. I think it takes trust on both sides. And I just would feel more comfortable with that if this was the middle of the season or if you were with a coordinator or a position coach who you had been with before. Remember, Jalen wasn't practicing at all until Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, you've had some interaction with your coaches in classroom settings, but not at all, almost on the field. And yeah, I would have to make sure that the terms of that pitch count were very clearly spelled out. And that everybody, you know, kind of would agree to be honest about how they felt about. Jason, why don't we get to our picks here? How about that? Week one, you and I are on.
Who's all picking this year?
Oh, we've got, okay, so we have the great Mark Potash back in picking, which is really exciting for me. We also have Steve Greenberg, who is going to be helping with our Bears coverage, including on Monday night from the press box at Soldier Field. And we have Scoop Jackson, who was with us last year. Before I get to your pick, Jason, can we go through everybody's records from last year? Can we do that briefly?
Sure.
Scoop Jackson, 10-8. Mark Potash, 11-7. I'm counting every Bears game plus the Super Bowl. Jason Leisure, 12-6. And that'd be a very good record, except that I was 15-3, Jason. 15-3. Let's all take a moment to revel in that.
I've never, ever once heard you mention a prediction that you got wrong.
That's because I'm 15-3. Ever. It's hard to find them.
We never talk about the predictions when you're way off.
Well, I may be wrong on Monday night because I have the Vikings winning 21-20. I think that I get back to the fact that the Bears are probably happy to be facing J.J. McCarthy in his first ever game, but I'm sure the Vikings could probably say the same about Ben Johnson. And when it comes down to it, you know, we talked about it. The Vikings roster is really good. and I just think they have better players. And I'm willing to believe that JJ McCarthy could do just enough to win a game that's not particularly high scoring. How about you?
I got the Bears winning a low scoring game. I have it as 17-13 Bears. I think that both teams are really, really have a lot of work to do. And I think that it's going to be so interesting. It's so interesting for us following the Bears and the NFC North to get to watch these teams play to start the season and then to get to watch them play again in November. I think that's going to be really fascinating. I think that Minnesota has more work to do with JJ McCarthy at quarterback than the Bears do with Caleb. And I've heard some things from Ben Johnson in the past week that have been very reassuring to me, Patrick. He has been, I think this started as more the alarms going off and has shifted to more of a sensible approach to coaching. He's been really clear that he's going to call what's working. He is not going to insist on just calling this quote unquote Ben Johnson offense and see how much of it that Caleb can and DJ Moore and whoever else can figure out on the fly under the lights against Minnesota. He's going to lean toward the stuff that he feels good about in practice, and he is going to essentially, what he's telling you is he's going to cut back the game plan and cut back the amount of responsibility he puts on Caleb Williams based on what he sees from the offense over the few days leading up to the game. And I think that that is something that is really going to be an interesting thing to watch for Ben Johnson in year one, because you want to see coaches that can adapt to what they have instead of calling a game for what they wish they had.
We've heard Ben talk about this a couple of times, including when I asked him a question this week. One of the things that he admires most in coaching is what Bill Belichick was able to do, what his offensive coordinator was able to do, which is every week morph into something different, depending on what you want to do. And I think that's what you're going to see the Bears doing. I also think it's refreshing to have a play caller who's more confident in his ability to call the right plays than he is necessarily in the player that he is calling them for. I think you can look at that one of two ways, but I choose to look at it as having somebody who's confident, who knows that the stuff he does works, and I'm sure can stand in front of the room and tell the Bears exactly that. Jason, you and I are in agreement on the Bears' season record. Both you and I have them at 9-8, and kind of to our point earlier about the offense improving, I think you and I agree that, you know, if they, you know, hover around 500 and if their offense shows signs of life and of growth in the second half of the season, I think that's pretty good success.
You have this kind of impatience right now with the Bears where it's hard. It feels like it's going quick on Caleb Williams' rookie contract window. And the rookie contract is so important because ideally you get that player going and now you're getting $60 million a year worth of quarterback play for the low, low price of $10 million a year. And you have all this extra money to spend elsewhere. You can't get so caught up in that you forget where things are really at right now. This was a 5-12 team last year. Probably should have been 4-13 if Green Bay had cared at all about winning that last game. I mean, this was a bottom of the league. You could go 4-13 and pick number one some years. So this team to leap from 5-12 to 9-8 is a leap. That's a big leap. Whether that gets you in the playoffs or it's just kind of playoffs adjacent is not really the point. That would be a big step forward for them. I think that 9-8 is probably on the more optimistic side of what looks realistic for this team right now.
Yeah, I was either 8-9 or 9-8. And, you know, quite honestly, the health of the Bears, TJ Edwards notwithstanding, throughout training camp, I mean, about half the teams in the league lost a player for the season. So the health of the Bears and quite honestly, the way Ben Johnson has run things pushed me ever so slightly in the direction of 9 wins. I think everybody else on Team Sun Times has them between 7 wins and 10 wins. Greenberg, I think, is at 7. Potsy is at 8. And Scoop Jackson is with you and I at 9. Jason, that'll do it for here. We will be back very late on Monday night and hopefully in your podcast distribution method of choice by Tuesday morning. Until then, you can follow Jason and myself on social media. Check us out on the Sun-Times website. And if you live in town, buy a paper. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.